I know right now y'all are looking going, and now we have to have a sermon? Don't worry. Yes, it is a home game, but let's be honest, we're not much to look at this season. Come on. You know what? Let's look at how Jesus wins the crowd over, shall we? He talks about dying and going to hell. That's how Jesus wins the crowd over. Because in our gospel today, we have Luke talking about two football teams. One doing really well in the season and one doing really badly. And they both die. Well, no, kind of, sort of, not really. Let's modernize it a bit. Actually, he's talking about a rich man and a terribly, terribly poor man. One who's so poor, and nobody cares about him at all. Literally, he's so poor and so destitute of health that the most relief he gets is when the dogs come and lick his sores. That's actually something that gives him some relief. It's the closest thing to loving contact that he ever gets. Think about that. The most caring contact that this man ever got in his final days wasn't someone touching him, telling him he was going to be okay, even telling him it'd all be over soon. It was dogs licking his wound like an old bone or a piece of salt. And both of these men die. And the rich man finds himself in hell. And the poor man finds himself in heaven, Abraham's bosom, where he is comforted. And I have to admit that, gosh, you know, I hate to say double-minded, because double-minded is another word for doubt. But I have sort of two minds about our future. Because I know that in the end, what happens? I know that in the end, we shall come to that place where there'll be no more sighing or suffering, and he shall wipe away every tear from our eye, and every injustice shall be put right. And I know that is our ultimate future. But I know that between now and then, things are only going to get worse. Now, if you paid attention to our gospel, our epistle, our Old Testament reading, you know that they all came together to say, man, you rich people need to look out for the poor. Lazarus was the poor man. The rich man saying, look, you need to be taking care of this man. Well, no, let me go to my brothers and warn them. Send someone to warn them. You have the prophets. You have Moses. Moses, by the way, represents the law. Those are the books of Moses, remember? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. For the Jews, they had the law and the prophets. Normally we say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. But in Matthew's version of that story, Jesus says, on these two commands hang all of the law and the prophets. In Jesus' time, that was how they divided their scriptures. They had the law and the prophets. Moses represented the law. So when Abraham is saying they have Moses and the prophets. He's saying they have the scriptures. If they don't listen to the scriptures, they're not going to listen to someone who rises from the dead. He's being prophetic. They're talking about me. He is criticizing the Jews. Look, these people have the scriptures. These people, they've heard in their scriptures for 1,000 years. Take care of the poor. You rich ruler, you knew about this. You passed by this man every day. You didn't even give him a cup of water. You didn't even dip your finger and give it, which is what you're begging for now. You never thought about that. And so now you want somebody to come back from the dead? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. They wouldn't listen. He was right. They didn't. Because he came back from the dead. And they didn't listen. Now there may be some of you who are like, you know, I'm glad I'm not rich so I don't have to worry about coming under condemnation from this scripture. Phew! Bullet dodged. I feel sorry for that guy sitting next to me. He makes a lot more money than I do. Woo! He's in trouble. There are 2.8 billion people in the world who live off of less than $2 a day. That is less than $800 a year. $800 a year. That's just under half of the world's population makes less than $800 a year. That's insane. Now, we can't do something to fix every last person. We can't fix every country's problem. But we can do what's put before us. We have the law. We have the prophets. We have Jesus who has said, be mindful. Look at the people who are around you. There is a story. It's told of a kid who's walking along the beach after a storm. And he goes and he picks up a starfish. And he goes and he walks and he puts it back in the water. And then he goes and he picks up another starfish. And he goes and he puts it back in the water. And he looks at the shore. This person who's watching him sees the shore, and there's hundreds of starfish along the shore. And this man says, kid, what are you doing? He says, I'm putting the starfish back in the water. The storm washed them all up on the shore. He says, kids, there's thousands of starfish. How are you thinking you're going to make a difference? Made a difference to that one. Okay, we're not going to fix 3 billion people. We haven't been called to fix 3 billion people. You're called to live out what God says, the embodiment of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself with whoever that neighbor happens to be. And if that neighbor is the guy at Publix, or Food Lion, which in this neighborhood has become a Walmart, which is a much bigger ministry field. Then that's where you're called to minister. And you don't have to save the world. You're not going to save the world. You're not going to save anybody. Because it's God who saves. You're called to do your part. You're called to share, to love, to reach out, to be the steward. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present age, which is all of us, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Not like we have to hate our money. He gives us these things to enjoy, but let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, which are far more important than good things. Be ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. We need to be those people who embody love, not just in those warm, fuzzy feelings, but in our actions, in our ministry, not just to the people who are part of our group, but to those nasty people, those people who we'd rather not spend time with. Yes, we don't have to be embarrassed about it. Yes, they are like people we wouldn't normally fellowship with. We look at those people and they are offensive to us. They smell. They might not have bathed in a month. It's hard to find a shower when you're on the streets. It's hard to find a good meal there too. But we need to learn to not to see them with our eyes or our nose, but look at them as God sees them. What if it were your son or your daughter? Would you care how they looked or how they smelled? Because it's God's son and his daughter. And that is what we're called to do. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.